So we ought to have a branch of computer science or sociology or whatever, a combination of a lot of different disciplines, to study why it is that open platforms eventually lose out to the tech industry Silicon Valley platforms. Because, and you know, if the reason I say we should study it is because I think we're ready now to fully understand what goes wrong, and then maybe next time we get the opportunity to launch an open platform, we will know to watch out for making the same mistake that we made in the past and that we are making right now. I believe I know what it is. So I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to suggest that if somebody's interested in studying this, I would be happy to work with them, at least to explain the thinking if it requires any further explanation, or, you know, whatever's needed. So here's the deal. When RSS came out, I mean, really came out in, I would say, 2002, which is when we had the New York Times, and then that meant that we were getting all the other news sources. We'd already had quite a bit of support amongst the tech publications or web-only publications, which there were quite a few, and they had a lot of readership. But it was exciting times. I mean, things were really happening, and so there was news to cover. And also all the bloggers. And then we got the New York Times, and then everyone followed. All the news industry followed. And so, let's say 2002, 2003, we're like, we're doing great, okay? Except there is one cloud over the whole thing, and that is that it's really, really hard to subscribe to a feed. And so everybody set out to solve that problem, but instead of solving the problem across all of the feed consumers and all the feed producers, every product solved it for themselves. And so you had a button, let's say there were, let's go A through Z, different aggregators and blogging platforms and news organizations. Let's say there's just 26 of them, all right? So each one of them had their own little button that you had to put on your website that said, click this button to subscribe to this feed or this website, however you want to put it. Click on this button to subscribe on this feed in product A. And then another button for product B and product C. And they all looked a little bit different. And, you know, and it's like hard to keep it all sorted out for the... And, you know, of course, if you ran a blog, you probably didn't want to put all 26 of the buttons on your page. So you'd go for whoever you thought was the largest one or the most significant one. Or maybe they even paid you to put the button on the page because they were trying to, you know, some growth hacking that they were doing. And the net result was the whole thing was just incredibly complicated. And there were an awful lot of places where you wanted to subscribe to this site, and there was no button for that site on the homepage of that site. So now you have to go figure out what is the URL of the RSS feed. If you were around in that time, you know what I'm talking about. And I don't know why people thought this was an acceptable situation or that it could last or could even work. Because even for somebody that understood how to go find the feed, it's too much of a pain in the ass. It's like, I don't really need to see this, or I don't want to go through all that work. Or do I have the time to do it? Never mind, do I want to? Is it a possibility to do it? We got used to it, and we learned to live with it, and it limited the growth of the whole idea of feed reading. It meant you really had to be committed to doing it. It wasn't a casual thing. And that worked fine until 2006 when Twitter came along. And Twitter comes along, and it's a very similar idea. It's not exactly the same as feeds, as RSS and Atom and whatever else came along. But it's really similar. and you start seeing the news organizations slowly. They start adapting to it because you know, they're not really totally aware of what's going on around here, so it takes a little while. But the beauty of Twitter was they controlled everything, and they were able, then there was only one button on every feed that you wanted to subscribe to, and that button just said subscribe or follow or whatever. It's just got one word on it. And all you had to do was say, oh, well, if I wanted to subscribe to this thing and I'm looking at it, all I have to do is click on the button and now I'm subscribed. That's it. So, you know, you want to do a start the study. This is where you start the study. You go, oh, and by the way, you don't need to go back to the days of feeds because it's happening again. And I just, what got me going on this was I read or skimmed an article in TechCrunch, which was a survey of all of the things that are the Fediverse. And it was, and they get to the part where they say that the Fediverse has a reputation of only being good for techies. Well, guess what? It's the same thing they said about feeds. And you know why? Because it's the same damn problem. It's like when I'm looking at somebody that I want to follow, or I want to reply to them, or God knows what. It's just, it's mired. Unless you're like sitting there looking at the, I don't even know. I don't even know what it is that's so confusing. I probably should sit down and figure it out, you know? But the whole thing is filled with dialogues that say, by the way, you can't do that here. You have to go back to where you live. And then find the URL of the thing you're talking about and then paste that into a special box. And then it's going to come up and say, do you really want to do this? And you're going to say, okay, I want to do it. Does that sound familiar? That's what we went through with RSS. Now, the solution to this is, let me give you the non-technical solution first. People have to work with each other. It's like, you know what the prisoner's dilemma is? It's you know, simply put, it's that if two prisoners cooperate with each other, they both succeed and get out of being prisoners. But if they try to go it alone, neither of them succeeds and they both are in prison or they die or whatever, they lose. We're dealing with exactly that. You have to get to this situation and say, for the benefit, so that we have a possibility of surviving, we need to make sure that it's just as easy to subscribe in our world as it is in this case, it's Threads. Threads has the, I think, the odds-on favorite for becoming the next Twitter. Because Twitter sort of blew it up, and they stepped back and they said, well, we don't really want to run this show anymore. And it created a movement out of Twitter, and Twitter keeps feeding that by the site just gets more and more broken all the time. And it's sad to see it happen, but it's impossible to deny that it is happening. And you've got Mastodon, you've got all the Mastodon likes, and you've got Blue Sky, and I don't know what else. There's lots of them. But Mastodon is kind of like until Threads came out, Mastodon was the obvious choice to be the replacement of Twitter. And had they asked me what should we do here, what I would have said is, well, you should make it really damn easy to subscribe. And you should also provide those subscription lists to anybody who wants them. In other words, if a user says, I want you, Mastodon, who's like sort of the master of all subscriptions, the one place that you need a button for. So you put a button on any one of these websites and it says Fediverse, okay? Subscribe in the Fediverse. And you click on that button, what happens is it goes back to Mastodon or goes back to some site that Mastodon put up, that maybe it's funded by a foundation so that it's got an endowment, so it's independent, so it isn't dependent on the success of one company and it can't be controlled by one company. It's just for the frickin' users. And then the user has an account on that service, and then the user decides whether or not it wants to let some site have access to its subscription list. And it can give access to 5 different sites if it wants to, or 50 different sites. The problem is solved now. All you have to do is point to that one place from a place that has a feed that can be subscribed to. You just point back to that one place, the place that's run, funded by a foundation, run as not just a nonprofit, but a completely public thing. You know, it's not sort of quasi-nonprofit or, you know, nonprofit on Tuesdays and Thursdays or nonprofit until we decide to, we're no longer a nonprofit. It has to be totally irrevocable. And now you've got a chance. When I read the thing in TechCrunch, when they got to the part about the, it's just for techies, I said, yep, we're making the same damn mistake and they don't even know it. These are supposed experts in this stuff. They don't understand that that was the mistake that was made before and it's being made again. What can I do? Well, I can do a little podcast like this and I can say, folks, we've been through this many times and here we are again and we're going to blow it again. We're going to have Facebook. And by the way, don't call them Meta. Call them Facebook because that's what they are. They are good at running the service. It will run smoothly. They're also been through the politics and, you know, yeah, nobody likes them, but they still run. They still make their shareholders a really good return. They'll succeed, and they will also have something like the Apple App Store for keeping everything nice and clean, and which means basically it'll be like Disneyland. That's fine. Disneyland has a place, but so does the open web. So, and this will now be my third podcast on my podcast feed. I now have a specific podcast feed. And if you're listening to this in some other way, you might want to just go into your, wherever you get your podcasts. I've been looking forward to saying that. Like, you go there and you go search for Scripting News and you may find it. But it's still early days, so you might not. So then you just enter the URL of the feed, which is http://scripting.com/podcast.xml, and you'll be in business. So thanks for listening. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.